So, salam everyone. I hope everyone is doing okay. Salam Brad, salam Saraji.
Salam Mr. and Mrs. That's great. That's just great.
Is Niyama there right now, Yunus?
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, Niyama is here too, and she's half asleep, but yeah, she's
still asleep. So, Nasanur.
So, yeah. Then, before we get going, I guess, let's take a moment, close our eyes, if you will, bring God among ourselves. Remember him. And salam.
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 So, yeah. Now we are a couple, I guess.
Oh, that's great.
To start, huh?
Yeah, that's just great.
Yeah, well, thanks to God, everything went pretty smooth.
Yeah, if Niyama has anything to say, you can be a translator. As a suggestion.
Yeah, we can say, Salam, Niyama. Salam, Mrs. Noor, Mrs. Yunus.
How do you say your last name? Siftki? Siftki?
Yeah, it's very hard to pronounce, I guess, in English. It's Chiftchi, but it's,
Chiftchi.
You know, it goes like Siftki.
That's fascinating. That sounds so close to Navajo. That's really interesting.
Yeah, it means farmer. So we rented an apartment, a small apartment, a studio, in fact, and we don't have internet there yet. So we came to the office for the meeting today this morning. Anyways, so how is everyone else doing?
Very well, thank God.
Anyone else get married?
You can only get married if you have no other choice. If you have no choice.
I guess so, yeah. Noor told me that we have the news brief all to ourselves this meeting, because we haven't been able to talk about it the last one.
Yep. Yeah. It's all for you, Eunice. Just for you.
Well, how did you like it? How do you find the three incarnations article? What do you guys think? Well, these are obvious, but, I mean, we could still talk about it, I guess.
Does anyone remember the news brief? It's been a while.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, it was fascinating.
Yeah. In fact, I'm waiting for the next one. If my dad talks about the dragon and the beast, and
yeah.
Mm-hmm. He says, maybe I will. But yeah, it was fascinating.
Was anyone surprised by what it said in the three incarnations? Tribulation is not as close as we thought.
I was surprised that the first incarnation maybe wasn't going to be as severe tribulation as we might have thought. I mean, mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that it's not going to be anything for sure, but that's what was one of the things that hit me from it. But the whole thing was fascinating, how Maitreya figured how that all came to him.
Yeah, that's something that seems to only recently be revealed. God certainly has kept the details of the future secret, only revealing a little bit at a time. Maitreya didn't know he was a thief of the night until he was in the middle of it, and he didn't know that, you know, about this until just now. So new things are being revealed all the time.
You know, there is like too much going on in the world, and you see the stress and everything, like the, you know, some things happening all over the place. Then I think someone has to, like, automatically thinks that a bigger tribulation is coming very soon. I think that's kind of like a natural instinct.
And Maitreya has also still said, he still emphasizes, and, you know, it's still consistent with what he said before, that mm-hmm. he said this on the Facebook group, that, you know, between 2012 and 2017, the tribulation will intensify. And 2017 mm-hmm. will be still an important year. You know, it'll be a milestone, you could say, in the mission's progress. Mm-hmm. But the true tribulation, the really bad part, all of the very, very poor, bad things, it sounds like that won't happen until the second incarnation.
Yeah.
Which is good. It gives us time.
And Maitreya's also said...
Go ahead. No, you go.
Well, I was going to say, Maitreya's also said that the mission is pretty much at the place where it's unstoppable. It's out enough. It's in so many places. It's really everywhere on the internet, and it's unstoppable now. Mm.
I just get amazed how many people on Facebook want to know more and want to join the, you know, learn more room. I try to ask people and give them the choice rather than just, you know, putting them in the group. And anyways, it's just neat because a lot of people are open to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Facebook is amazing, huh? It's all over the place. Everyone is on it. Spends a lot of time on it, everyone I know around here. So I think this is as using a worldly thing as godly as you can, I guess.
I think the statistic is that if Facebook was a country, it'd be the second biggest country. Probably the third biggest, actually. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It has a lot of influence, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. It's good to keep that group going, you know. If people aren't asking questions in that group, you know, we're all free to, like, try to post things or something like that to try to provoke discussion or questions, you know. It's when questions are being asked, then the focus should be on the questions. But if the group seems quiet, you know, putting something in there to provoke a question would not a bad thing. Just to try to spark somebody, keep it moving.
Yeah, excerpts, like, from the teachings, I guess that works. Yeah.
Do you guys see that?
Also, yeah.
No, you go, Eunice, please.
Go.
Well, did you guys see that exchange we had with that guy about the swastika?
No.
Did anybody see that?
No, I haven't seen it. Is it new?
Yeah, it actually ended up getting deleted at the end of it because it got all really off topic and just ended up becoming a hurt rather than a help. But this guy was very unhappy that we had the swastika and the greatest sign. it was interesting for sure.
Yeah, like judging things without knowing them, I guess.
Do people just wear the swastika on shirts and stuff in Turkey, or is that still too close to the West? I know in Japan and in Asia, it's all over the place, no big deal.
No, you don't see it around here, but I don't know if there's as big a reaction as, you know, most, at least in Europe. Many people don't even know it.
It's interesting, a couple weeks ago we went up to Mount Nair and that hotel with the swastika all, you know, on the edges of outside building. It's beautiful. It's an a historic monument, that hotel. And the swastika is right there. They never bothered. They never took it off. They kept it there.
In Asia, everyone knows it's an ancient sign. That's for
sure.
But yeah. But everyone has concepts like that. I guess every country, like many people, I guess, take a greatest sign, at least the circle and the triangles, look like, you know, what are those people called? Like people that believe in Satan.
Oh, yeah.
Or something, yeah.
No, people will misinterpret. I mean, it's the five. Yeah. It's not even the six, it's the five. End of sentence.
One time I went through the greatest sign to see if every number was there, and you can find almost every number. There's a one, there's two, there's three, there's four. But only an OCD mind would do that.
So come on, what are you all up to? What are over the last month?
Yeah.
Nothing you guys have wanted to say?
Yeah.
Do you not want to say?
Hello, Ben.
Well, you guys should realize that before his green microphone is on, he can't hear you. So
I
when you
know.
Guys are all saying salam, wait for a moment.
Now, I'm wondering if Brad is able to talk. He typed salam, but we haven't heard from him.
He might not have a microphone.
Salam, Ben.
Hello.
Salam.
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Yes. Good sound.
Yes.
Hello.
Good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, good sound.
Salam, Ben. Can you hear
good
us?
Good sound?
Yes.
It's on?
It's on.
Good to see you here. Salam, how are you?
Good to be here. Good.
Good, good.
All right.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was having some trouble.
It's fine. No worries.
That's okay.
You were just listening to Anandama making a noise.
Yeah, we're obviously having a very heated discussion between Anandama's mic and her mouth.
Okay. What have you been talking about so far?
Mostly the news brief. What did you think of the news brief, Ben? Did you read it from last month?
Oh, the first time I saw it, I had put off reading it for a long time, and when I saw it, it was very confusing.
Oh, yeah?
It seemed like there were like so many multiple meanings in it that I was having trouble following it.
Mm. You mean Maitreya's message? Or the news brief in general?
The news brief. I don't think I've read the whole thing yet, though.
Okay. Did you read the message from Maitreya about the three incarnations?
Yes, I read through that.
What did you think of that?
It was interesting.
It's not what you find in a Western college, is it?
What do you mean?
Oh, about incarnations and, you know, I think I understand you a little because I went to, you know, college up in the northwest and up in the northeast and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah, I went to Tufts.
I thought you went to college at, wait, is this Noor?
This is Noor, yeah. I went to college at Tufts University in Boston. I graduated.
Really? I thought you went to some place in New Mexico.
I live here now. That's where I was born, but I went to college up in Boston. So I know what that education is like. It's very different.
Wait, so who went to New Mexico University?
I'm not sure.
Not me.
Not me.
Okay, never mind.
Kyosha. Must have been Kyosha.
I did briefly, yeah, for my teaching certificate.
There we go.
There we go. Mm-hmm.
I don't think Ben knew that.
You don't think I knew what?
I went to the college in New Mexico, that's all. I'm sure that's not what you were speaking of, yes. Mm-hmm.
And Ben, where do you live? Which part of the world do you come from?
I live in New York City.
Oh, okay. Which part of New York City?
I live in Queens.
Queens, ah, okay.
Yeah. Supposedly the most diverse place in the world, actually. We have lots of different cultures.
Huh.
Korean neighborhoods, Greek neighborhoods, African-American neighborhoods, all kinds of different neighborhoods, all mixed together.
Interesting.
Do you find it a place that's open to God at all, in a lot? Open to godly teachings or anything like that?
Well, we have a lot of churches around, but there's a lot of churches everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's anything unique about Queens.
Sure.
But I do think just about every place has a lot of people that are open to God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
That's what we're looking for.
And what a difference between actually real God and dogma. quite a difference.
Yeah.
Well, probably sometimes the real God can exist within dogma to some extent also.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes.
Well, ritual is not bad in and of itself. You know, the rituals have an importance. Rules and laws have an importance. But when the meaning behind the laws and the rules and the rituals is lost, and it just becomes about doing a rigid set of things without knowing why, that becomes dogma. Mm. And there's not really God in that. Again, everything can be from three kinds, ignorance, passion, or knowledge.
Or what my chair teaches about intellectual spiritualists.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with intellectuals. It's a very important part of humanity. Mm-hmm. But when it becomes rigid and dry and changes God's word, then, again, it goes too far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating.
Actually, I find that it's very easy in my work to relate to very strong Christians. And, you know, we talk about Christ and we talk about the Bible, and then next we'll be a Muslim family, and we're fine with that. and we have Buddhists and the Hindus come in, and it's quite nice.
My question still stands. How are you all? What have you guys been wanting to talk about? You know, we're the moderators, but we're not the only ones that are supposed to be coming over topics. What topics do you guys have planned, huh?
Yeah. Any questions? Anything?
Thank you.
Any personal things?
Is there anything, Ben said that the news brief seemed a little bit confusing. Is there anything that we could discuss about that to make it not so confusing?
I've been finding it very hard to meditate recently, for the last few months, actually. It's been harder than ever before, actually. I don't know if you have any ideas about that.
Did you meditate a lot before the last few months, and now it's becoming more difficult?
I did irregularly, but I tried to do it on a regular basis every day, if that makes any sense to you.
Recently
I didn't have like a routine, but I, you know, dabbled with a lot of different techniques and tried to, you know, use them whenever I needed to. Or even when I didn't need to, you know.
One possibility is that Maitreya has always taught that when you truly start on the spiritual path and begin, like, intensely working on spiritual progress, your meditation actually becomes harder rather than easier.
I have absolutely no patience for meditation whatsoever. I can listen to some music. That helps a little. I was actually listening to some Jeremy Camp before
It's difficult,
but yeah,
it's definitely difficult to still the mind.
And another option is to come to the Pal Talk room on Monday night and Wednesday night from 7 to 7:30 Mountain Standard Time, because we do the meditation process that Maitreya gives, and we do the universal mantra. And sometimes I find, like on Wednesday, Tahara does it usually, and I find when someone is taking you through the process, sometimes the meditation flows much better. So that might actually be something that's helpful.
Yeah, I put some of the meditations on my my iPod.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So I have been listening to some of the classes and stuff. So yeah, that helps. Actually, I can't really do the Mission of Maitreya meditation without the classes, you know, the tapes directing me. It's kind of similar to Mantak Chia's meditation, actually. I can't do the microcosmic orbit without like a voice, you know, directing me where to move the energy. So
it's not an easy meditation process. That's why it's so powerful. Frankly, it takes me...
Yeah,
become
the universe. That's all you have to do.
Frankly, even for me, just going through the process, like from beginning to end, just to get to the center of the universe and begin my actual meditation, usually
just
takes...
Just to remember the process.
It usually takes me half an hour just to do that. And I know I'm slow, but so if I ever want to do the full process, I try to set myself aside quite a bit of time. I can't do it just in half an hour. Mm. It doesn't work for me. Mm. But,
you set yourself aside, huh? that works out good for meditation.
Right. What did you say? Set yourself what?
He said, I'm teasing Nor. He said, I try to set myself aside.
I try to set myself aside. Ha ha ha.
It's called taking words out of context.
But the energy of the world is pretty thick. I mean, I don't think you're the only one, Ben, who's having some difficulty with meditation, because there's so much violence and disturbance in the world. And probably...
Cosmic radiation from the sun is supposed to be flaring up. That's what I saw on the movie Fantastic Four. cosmic radiation coming down. No, but...
In fact, I find it very hard to at least try to meditate in a city. Mm-hmm. You don't even need to, you know, the cosmic radiation, like...
Yeah, when I was in Vermont, when I was in Vermont just a few months ago, I feel like, or a few weeks ago, it was so, the air was so fresh. And then when I came to New York City, oh, wow, I never experienced a letdown like that. Mm-hmm. It just felt like I had walked into a toxic waste, disposal. It was horrifying. It's like I didn't even know what I was swimming in until I... went away from it for a while to Vermont, to the the Green Mountains, and then come back to New York, and it's so bad compared to Vermont. Mm-hmm. It's just incredible. I think there's something, like I thought about getting an air freshener, like an air purifier for my room, like one of those things that takes in pollution and, you know, gobbles it up or introduces like negative ions into the air to gobble up pollution. But then I realized that there was like, it probably wouldn't even be as fresh as the air in Vermont. No,
they don't really help. I tried that in the center. Because in wintertime, like, the weather gets pretty bad in here. So I tried to use a small one like that, but it didn't really help.
You try to use a small what? A small air purifier?
Right, yeah. But I think not just
you have. Do you have one? Do you have one that like is the ionizing kind, or one that has filters that you have to change?
Yeah, with the ionizing.
The ionizing. I hear that's bad for you because it introduces ozone into the air and it causes asthma.
Well, I think it's bad because it's not natural, anyways. Like, even air conditioning, I find is not good. You know, it's. And the weather here is so humid and gets so warm in summers, you have to use at least an air conditioner. But in fact, it looks like it's because of the bad buildings, the way people build the city. Because now I have a small Vespa, a motorcycle. Like while going home, I drive through these trees. Like there's an area military area. I go through that, and it's
wait, where? Like in Turkey?
In Turkey, yeah. In Izmir. I drive through this road in between a military area. So uh-huh. they don't have much building, many building in there, and it's all trees, like big trees.
Mm-hmm.
And the weather, like, usually drops at least 5 degrees Celsius. Like, it gets even, like, gives you a little chill. So even, like, how you build a city or how you have your buildings makes a lot of difference, even with, you know, the...
It's just like
in terms of pollution, you mean?
I mean, in terms of everything, I guess it starts with the like how warm it gets in summer, and it's probably like the energy, the flow of the energy, and everything. So that's why I think it's also hard to meditate in an apartment in a city.
Mm-hmm. The air is just so stuffy and mm-hmm. bad. But the rest of the house has air conditioning, but my room doesn't, so.
It just goes back to Maitreya's teachings, just like he says that 99% of the world's problems are ego. Also, you'll find that 99% of human physical problems are usually created by humans, which they then have to fix. You know, if the cities are built badly and they pollute the air, then they use air purifiers and trees to fix that problem, which they've created themselves. You find that throughout all aspects of human life. They create problems, and then they create solutions to those problems.
Yeah, if the world decides to go and follow like the eternal divine path and Maitreya, I think everything will be solved pretty easily. Because let's take this crisis, you know, U.S. and Europe and many countries are facing, and the world, in fact, with the economy. It's usually like all, I mean, what is the crisis really?
What's the what?
What is the crisis really? I mean, it's mostly it's because of the political systems, or you know, how you think, how you look at things, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The classes. Mhm. That's right. Business is over.
and greed too. So much greed.
Yeah.
It's not our time.
It's based on speculation. Yeah.
And, you know, you could argue whether this is really the time for us to meditate a lot. It's probably not. You know, this is the time to really spread the message, let people know Maitreya is on earth, let people know about the teaching, and spread it. Meditate as much as you can, but I've heard Maitreya say it's probably not the time for us to have really deep, strong, you know, long meditations. We have to get the system going and get the earth in a good place, and then we can all meditate together.
I thought we're supposed to be a good example of our teachings. We're supposed to practice what we preach and all that.
True, that's true. Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of trying. You know, it's a matter of doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And also, what helps to meditation is I found a prayer, doing the reminder. I think that gives me a good balance.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes the world gets to you too much. Like, before getting even to meditation, I need some sort of, like, a cleansing thing. And when you do that,
like, singing Baba Nam Kevalam before you meditate?
Mm-hmm. Well, it would be hard.
I mean,
I guess I could use that one, too.
Yeah.
Another thing that I do when I meditate that works really well for me is I have the background. The greatest sign is the background on my computer. And I focus myself on the center of the greatest sign and meditate on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have found once or twice that staring at the greatest sign actually does clear your chakras.
Yeah.
Kind of an interesting idea.
It all fits together. It's a whole system. You know, each part helps the other. If you just try to meditate without doing the other pieces, you will find it difficult. You know, it's just like if you just try to spread the teachings, it all fits together as a system, internal and external, each piece, the reminder, the kirtan, the dancing, the chanting, the yoga, the meditation, they all combine together. Each part individually is difficult.
Another thing I find that helps in meditation is to read Pho and then meditate. You can start by contemplating what you read.
That kind of happened to me. That kind of happened to me during the do nothing but read day. That was good.
That seems up your alley, Ben, because you seem more of an intellectual type. So that might be a good way for you, in terms of your, you know, your dharma,
to trick me into forgetting myself.
Yeah, because usually, I guess, the mind has its concepts of how things should be. Like when you read the process, the meditation process, the machine gives, I think mind automatically thinks that, oh, this sentence that I read has to happen like this, or has to have this kind of an experience, or that, or, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to know, like, what. Does Maitreya ever teach meditation classes himself? Or it's hard to know, like, what exactly is meant by certain processes in the meditation, you know?
But that's
like,
the trick.
What does it mean to go to the blue light in the center of the, you know, of the universe? You know, should you be facing the light when you're warp speeding through outer space? It's like you're in Star Trek. Or should you, you know, be zooming out on the Earth and facing the Earth when you're, you know, going back towards the blue light? You know, I mean, there's so many different, you know, interpretations of that.
I think all of those smaller things, I relate to this because I have a similar mind and I consider these same, you know, things that...
Oh, good. I'm glad I'm not alone.
What I've learned throughout the mission teachings is that sometimes there is such a thing as too much detail. And it's more important is the general understanding. See, the whole process of getting to the blue light is a mental exercise to force your mind to listen to you. It's an exercise to push your mind into something that's difficult to do, which is to force it to go through this step-by-step process and do this. You have to visualize all of these very large, mind-expanding things. It's a mental exercise. So the specifics, I would say, are probably not as important as the general idea.
Oh, no.
I said, buy it.
So, yeah, I think actually Brad is right. Don't worry so much about the specifics.
Yeah, just do it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the more you go through it, you know, it actually eventually does become easier. You don't fight it as much.
I think
the more you do it. Yeah, I think I've only done it like a handful of times, honestly.
For Maitreya said it 7 years to master the mission. That's a long time.
Yeah, I've tried doing it, but then I just give up and just do, like, you know, Zen meditation instead or something because it's easier. Or I've tried just, like, following the breath and saying Hari Om Shari Hung on the in-breath and then Om Nam Kevalam on the out-breath with, you know, the gap in between the in and the out-breaths.
Sounds like you're doing fine to me. I mean, just...
How about the poses? Like, what do you do?
Can you do that meditation without the beginning process of, like, going to the center of the universe, the blue light? Can you just skip all that and just do the, like, regular meditation, like breathing in, Hari Om, Shari Hung, then breathing out, Om Nam Kevalam, just leave it at that?
You can do that throughout your entire day or any time when you're still. You don't have to do it with the process. But, you know, it is a package. I mean, there are times, of course, you're going to want to do it with the process. But
Ben,
you're doing it alone.
Go ahead. No, sorry. You're done. Keep going.
No, I was done. Okay.
I was going to say, Ben, don't think of it in terms of what you can and can't do. Think of it in terms of that each part provides a benefit. And the benefit of the full process is progressing more quickly because you're exercising greater control over your mind. If you find it that you do the process, then yes, you can do less. I mean, there are times when I don't have a full hour, which is what I really need to do the full process. So then I don't. It's just, you know, this is not a religion of dogma where you have to do it or it's not going to work. It's a religion of understanding why. The full process is important because it allows you to control your mind more fully and more strongly. But okay. It's not something, you know, it's not rigid. The mission is not rigid. They're absolutely. But
is the meditation unique to Maitreya, or did PR Starkar teach anything like expanding your? Because I've never heard of anything like that before. Expanding your energy out to the rest of the universe. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's specifically from Maitreya, from Maitreyji.
So PR Starkar never taught. P.R. Sarkar never taught to expand your energy out to your room and your books in your room and your neighborhood and your everything.
No. Not this is a process from Maitreya to us.
No, the Buddhist
Sarkar in general was very, very secretive about the meditation processes he taught. He taught like certain meditation processes to different people, and they were instructed not to let anybody else know. So it's completely different. Point of Maitreya's message is that it's released to all people at this point, and Maitreya has revealed the mystery to all of humanity. So there is no more secrets and things like that. It's you know, this is the most powerful meditation process revealed by the seventh angel in its entirety. Elements.
So
of
you're
it
saying
may
Sarkar might have had elements of it in?
No, I specifically remember someone asked Maitreyji that question, and it was a definite no, that this is a new and unique meditation process from Maitreya to us.
Wow.
Yep.
Would it be considered a tantric meditation, since it's based on sort of becoming one with the physical manifested universe? Would that be considered tantra in a way?
It can be. It can be used either way. Maitreya teaches both ways. So the path of yoga is the path of control, and that the meditation process can be used as a process of control, or you can use it in a more tantric method, which is, you know, through your meditation process while you're in meditation, going through your desires and experiencing them and understanding what they are, and so therefore overcoming them. So again, it becomes the universal meditation process is universal in that sense also. It can be used either yogically or tantrically.
Oh yeah, I've never been very good at that. It was like visualizing a new car in your meditation and then figuring out that you never wanted it in the first place. How do you do that?
Just do it.
Buy Nike. Buy Nike products. Do it now. Just do it.
And you know, there's formal meditation, which I have heard Maitreyji's, I've heard other people ask that same question. Can you just sit down and just start meditating and not have to go through the process? And I've heard Maitreyji answer that in formal meditation, you really should go through the process, you know. But the other times, like Kiyoshi was saying, other times during the day you can meditate, or even when you're going for a walk, that's a meditation, or if you're in the garden, that's a meditation, or you're in the cloud, you know, you're looking at the clouds, that's all a meditation. But for formal meditation, I think we are instructed to really go through the process before we actually start the meditation. I mean, my meditation is to go to the garden. There's no doubt about that. Everybody knows that.
I don't have a garden. I wish I did. I tried growing tomatoes on my windowsill, but they started attracting flies, so I had to give it away.
I mean, from what I know of you, Ben, it sounds to me like your meditation is probably reading and literature. It seems to be something you're very into. So you could use that as a meditation, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
And Hari Om Shri Hung Om Nam Kevalan can be going on all the time inside. And, you know, you could even say a realization is sometimes a meditation, too. Even when I'm in the hospital and I see a situation with a patient, I mean, that's, in a sense, almost a meditation, a realization that, wow, you know, what's really going on here?
Brad, how's your garden going? Is it still producing good, doing well?
Actually, just in the last few days, I got an offer to come up to Ohio to work, and so I had to abandon it. So I left it to the bears and the deer.
The bear. Did you get a couple stuff out of it before you had to leave?
Yeah, I accomplished all my goals, which was first one was just to do it, and, you know, to actually do it before I left that property. And then I did get some cucumbers and green beans and tomatoes and stuff out of it.
Yeah.
Ended a little late, but I've been eating things. I have brought some stuff up to Ohio with me, and been eating some things there. So yeah, it worked out fine.
Wait, who's on the mic right now?
That was Brad.
Brad.
Oh.
Brad, meet Ben. Ben, meet Ben.
Hi, Brad.
Hello.
Polish Mountain. Okay.
Well, I'm in the greatest location in the nation right now, Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, why is that? Because it's the original site of the Garden of Eden.
No, that's what I read.
I read that in the New York Times. They said that in the New York Times that
Cleveland was the Garden of Eden.
I don't know about Cleveland, but I think some place in Ohio is supposed to be the original Garden of Eden. I didn't actually read the article. I just saw the, like, you know, little picture that says, like, it's like a green, like, traffic sign that says Garden of Eden, and then it has an arrow pointing to the right or something like that.
That was probably algae. When I was growing up, they called it was just a slogan they had, a campaign, because Cleveland was kind of a central location when that made a difference as far as now you can live anywhere because of the Internet, but they just called it the best location in the nation. But it was like, you know, when you dress up a pig.
Cleveland, Ohio. Really?
Well, you know what the new best location in the nation is now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so I've heard.
New Jerusalem. That's where we are. That's where we're going for.
I wasn't able to find the Native American prophecies that deal with the Four Corners being the safest place.
Oh,
do you
perfect.
Have, like, a link to that you
I
could send me?
I do. Here, wait. I will. Can you see my screen?
Or can you just email it to me so I can read it later? I don't want to get. Oh.
Okay. I'll post you the link. I'll also show you.
Oh, you have it on the website. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
A huge, huge page full of many different Native American prophecies, and the one.
Oh, comments on many Native American prophecies. Is that new?
It's not new. It was in one of the news.
Aztec briefs. Prophecy. Wow, I never saw that before. Aztecs.
Yeah, it was in a news brief from about a year ago. It was only recently put on the prophecies page. So it's been on the website for a while.
The Aztecs believe in the Blue Kachina also?
There are many different names for it and many different prophecies, but all of them relate to the mission. And Maitreya explains it throughout this message. It's a very, very, very interesting article. So we might be interested to read it. All of the red is Maitreya's comments. And here's the part about the Four Corners, you see. There's the Four Corners.
The Hopi prophecy?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a Hopi prophecy.
This specifically one is. And it makes sense because the Hopis live right in Arizona, right around the Four Corners area. The Navajos also live here, so it may be another prophecy similar to that. I bet other Native Americans have similar prophecies as well. Remember, these are all very closely related people, and a lot of their prophecies are very similar, too. This specific prophecy is from Hopi, but I bet if you searched, you would find others that have similar.
Where was that fire once going on around there? Was it close to that area, Noor?
I don't know.
I don't think it was that north, but it was in a lot of Arizona and some of New Mexico.
Mm.
It was a huge fire.
Wait, are you, like, controlling my computer right now? My mouse is crawling around.
You were probably seeing my mouse. I just stopped controlling. I mean, I just stopped showing my screen, so probably stopped.
Okay. It just says MOM members meeting now.
How about Satrio Piningit? Did you guys all see that from the last news brief? And it prophecy, confirming again what we've been saying. Mm. From Indonesia to Native Americans, the Indians. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere.
And probably more will just surface
sure.
as things mm-hmm. happen. People mm. say, oh, there's this also over here.
Mm. Yeah, I actually, I was remembering that I had read a very long time ago on a, I think it was some kind of New Age website or something. It said something like Barack Obama has fulfilled certain ancient prophecies for being like some, I don't know, great black brother from the
mm-hmm. yeah.
from the West or something. I don't know what it is.
We
exactly,
saw something similar to that also. Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that, Mommy?
What's that?
The prophecy that the Islamic prophecies they thought that Obama might have fulfilled.
Yeah, really.
That's funny. You're not going to like that on Fox News.
No.
I actually saw some things where they were saying Obama was Maitreya, too, a while ago.
Obama is Maitreya.
Yeah.
Well, there's supposed to be 144,000 Maitreyas, right? but only one is the first begotten son.
Right, the center.
The center.
But those are the true. Those are the true Maitreyas. The elect. Yeah. There are also many false Maitreyas. they are not part of that 144,000.
So the false Maitreyas aren't even interested in bringing God's kingdom in any way whatsoever. They won't eventually like join up or something.
I mean, we'll have to see.
We'll see
the error of their ways.
Yeah, it's
see
possible.
The light.
Only God knows the future. Light. But I mean, uh-huh. for example, Benjamin Krem and his Share International movement have done very little to help us, mm. and have done as much more harm than good as of now.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I think they did. They have done a little bit to help you because I wouldn't have found you guys if it weren't for Benjamin Krem.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Interesting.
That's good to know.
Mm. Yeah, and if I didn't shop at a health food store that had his flyer mm-hmm. sitting there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they did prophesize about Maitreya would come out in 1982, and that's exactly what happened. So that came from Benjamin Krem's group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe there's some truth in it.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. No, Maitreya has always said that Benjamin Krem seems similar to John the Baptist to him. Then you know, he had it right in the beginning, but he was confused later.
Did John the Baptist give false prophecies as well as true ones at the same time? Did he have false and true statements?
He predicted the coming of Christ, and then he recognized the Christ when he first saw him. And then later on, he had to send his disciples to Christ and ask, are you really the one we're looking for? He wasn't sure later on. And there's a similarity in that, you know, Benjamin Krem correctly predicted the coming of Maitreya at first, but now seems to have become confused and doesn't really know what he's teaching anymore. I don't know if you guys have ever listened to Benjamin Krem speak, but it's very interesting now because when the person asks, what is your general message, he very passionately and very lucidly and very movingly describes how you know, a person will come, it's the changing of an age, and you know we're waiting for the promised Messiah, all world religions, his name is Maitreya, he comes to bring peace. And it's very passionate, it really convinces you. And then when people start asking yeah. him about the specifics, about where he is, when he is, then
he's in London, right?
He totally changes. Krem's voice and his attitude totally changes. He gets vague, he gets confused, he doesn't sound as strong, as sure of himself anymore. So it really
he
does
starts
seem
channeling an ethereal being from the fifth level?
Well, it really does seem like Benjamin Krem knows for sure that Maitreya is supposed to be here. But all the details he's completely confused about. And so his teachings as of that point are lost, essentially. It's very interesting when you listen to him. So.
Yeah, I think they have some flyers. They have flyers all over New York for that stuff. I think he actually gives presentations at the Fashion Institute of Technology. That he rents out an auditorium there and gives presentations.
See, if he had submitted to Maitreya, we could be
right?
giving presentations.
What? I'm sorry, what did you say?
Oh, I said he. You said at the Fashion Institute, so I said he gives presentations in this fashion.
Yes, yes. Oh, in this fashion. Ah.
I'm sorry, I was making a joke.
I get it. Yeah.
So you all are doing okay out there? Feeling good?
Doing our best.
Yes. All of us are doing our best at this time.
I could do better.
Oh, couldn't we all?
I heard. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I think you have a new thing, huh? Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I heard the mission has a fig tree.
Kiyosha, you got to know this. We don't have one fig tree. How many do we have out there, Noor?
Maybe seven.
Seven now.
Oh my golly! One for each seal. Yeah.
We have some ideas about these figs.
What happens when they get ripe?
We eat them.
We eat them.
Or dry them. Or sell them.
Oh, no, the poor little figs. They're going to get eaten.
Do you have any Newton trees to go along with them?
Cute.
Apples?
No, just figs.
Oh.
Yeah, we have some ideas about these fig trees. We'll see what happens, what manifests.
Very fun. You gotta collect them and eat them, because if they fall on the ground, they smell bad.
Really?
What's that supposed to mean, Eunice?
I don't think that's gonna be a problem, Eunice. Don't worry.
Yeah, I think Anandama will not leave anything behind.
You know me!
So what else do you have in the garden, Saraji? Do you have, like, tomatoes and all other things? Like?
We have, we have lots of tomatoes and cucumbers and peppers and eggplants, those long oriental eggplants. And we had Swiss chard and kale, and we had peas.
Mmm.
Yeah.
What kind of peppers do you have?
We have some green peppers, but we also have these long red sweet peppers. They're absolutely delicious. Mm. And Eunice, we wanted to ask you, did you still want us to send you some seeds, or are you okay? Because we can.
I was going to ask if you would like me to send you some seeds.
Yes, that would be fantastic. From Turkey? Yeah. That would be great. I mean, even just if...
Right? Mail them?
Well, I looked it up, and I guess you have to, what I found is you have to write the generic, the name, you know, a technical name of the plant with the seeds.
The Latin name.
The Latin name, right, uh-huh,
yeah.
With the seeds when you mail them. But I mean, Noor picked up some Hopi beans, and I don't know if that's something you'd be interested in.
It might be good to mix up plants as well as cultures. Make everything.
Yeah, it would be great.
What are Hopi beans?
They're a type of lima bean. They're very good.
And you say, I hope you, I would like them.
I hope.
Well, you're on the roll, Kiyosha.
Kiyosha! Oh. I'm sorry. God does this through me.
Yeah, blame it on God. Good one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there you go. Only when it's good humor.
Okay, so what does Hopi mean then in that context?
I think
when
it's
God
just,
does it through you.
Well, the word Hopi bean just means that they were grown by the Hopis originally.
Or they're hopping beans. They hop around.
They're a very old strain, so they've been used for many, many, many years, and they're still in their pure strain.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I heard that Native Americans actually developed corn. Like, corn is kind of a almost like a genetically modified food, because it was originally very small. It was a small little grain, like almost the size of wheat, and it got bigger as they started selecting the seeds that would produce like a bigger ear of corn, and eventually the corn got bigger, and so it was kind of developed by humans. It was never
you'll find that's in true. For, you will find that's true for most of our cultivated crops. Bananas used to have seeds in them, big seeds, and they don't anymore because of us.
Interesting.
And strawberries used to be tiny, and now they're large. You'll find that we, you know, God has allowed us to adapt many wild crops for our own use.
One of the most surprising...
Interesting.
A surprising thing that I learned like that was the carrots used to be not like orange.
Yes, they used to be red, or white.
And in Holland, I think...
Wait, carrots used to be red?
You can still find many different colors. But
wow. I've heard of purple potatoes before.
What were you saying, Eunice?
I guess like the country, the Holland, do you know? They have the orange as their like the country's color. I think those people from that country made carrots orange. When they find out the original like the seed.
We've actually this year tried saving some seeds, just for the experience of doing that. And it's pretty easy. Yeah.
I've heard Bill Gates is saving a lot of seeds. Have you heard of that? Bill Gates, you know, the guy who started Microsoft?
Yeah.
He has a big vault in Greenland, I think, where he's saving organic seeds. Of like every variety, it's like a Noah's Ark kind of thing for organic seeds.
Bill Gates, when he joins us,
maybe he's secretly been reading your website and hasn't told you yet.
He's comfortable.
I'm sorry. They say that when there's a food shortage, that seeds will be worth an awful lot. So I went to a certain webinar where they told people to save seeds, especially heirloom organic seeds.
Sure. And seeds will last for many years, you know.
How long do they last for? Do you have to refrigerate them?
You should put them in a hot place, but keep them either cool or a reasonable temperature. The germination rate will go down as the years go by, but usually you can still get some.
They've germinated seeds over 2,000 years old, so
isn't that cool?
So it's like a good investment then. Seeds.
So then we can exchange some of the seeds that I found here that you don't have probably.
That would be great. Yeah, that would be great. There's some very unusual cucumber seeds that I have. If you would like some, and some carrots that I could send to you guys.
Yeah, and that'll be nice.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
I'd say yes, but I don't think they'll grow in New York City.
But a tree grows in Brooklyn. You know that book? You guys don't know that book.
I've heard of it.
I do.
So is there anything else about the mission and God anyone wants to talk about? To recharge themselves and refill for another month?
Can I just give a general update on some news?
Go ahead.
Yeah, we have been talking about working at the farm out there, and you had sent me an email, but now that I'm going to be up here in Cleveland working probably up until end of October into November, then I'm not going to apply for that.
Okay.
And you said it was kind of a diminished thing there, what they were doing anyhow, so I thought I'd just let you know that, because you had sent me that email. I was getting ready to send you one back, so it just saved me from sending it. But what this will do is the reason I took this position, just a temporary one, was that they offered me pretty good money, and that'll help give me a little bit extra money for as much as my father's fighting it. I'm still trying to set a date for moving out there, so I'm still hoping to be out there somewhere towards the beginning of next year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. We hope it works out.
Mm-hmm. I'll be looking forward for some figs.
You'll have to buy them at Whole Foods in January.
Yeah, it's a special price for mission members, twice as much.
I love fresh figs. They're so much different than the stuff you get in the stores. When you pick it right off the tree.
Yep.
I tasted one only once in France, and it was right off the fig tree, and it was amazing.
Yeah,
so,
they are.
So different than like a dried fig or even a fresh fig that you get in the supermarket. It's just mm-hmm. incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you grow your own fruits and vegetables, I think, yeah, you will experience the same thing with everything, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually just like you were saying with the Araven, where you don't realize how bad it's gotten until you find out how good it can be. That's the same thing with fresh, local, organic food. You don't realize mm-hmm. how bad the supermarket food is until you eat fresh, local, organic food. How unhealthy you've become.
Even supermarket, like, organic fresh figs are not as good as fresh ones because they still have to transport it. You know?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
They've lost a lot for the convenience of convenience.
The bears and deers at my house concur.
Peaches come from a can. They were put there by a man in a factory downtown.
So yeah, from this meeting we realize again, I think, read though, do the reminder, meditate, eat local fresh food,
and yeah, use all these great things to spread the teachings
and share
and don't eat any apples.
Unless they're local and organic.
Right.
And don't have artificial wax on them.
Right. Yep. That's right. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Does that apply to Apple computers also?
If you're trying to eat a computer, wax or no wax.
They're very shiny. My parents are actually offering to get me an Apple computer for my birthday. And so that's like a double sin, right? Getting an Apple for your birthday. First of all, you're celebrating your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And then second of all, you're eating an apple. What do you think about that? It is a pretty good operating system, though. And it works with GoToMeeting. Actually, Ubuntu, which I've been using for a long time, it's based on the Linux, Linux system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's nice because it's open source. You know, it's like organic community operating system. You know, but it doesn't work with GoToMeeting. I was really surprised.
Mm-hmm.
When I tried to use it just now. Because I thought if I was using the browser, it would work right in the browser, because usually just about any, you know, app or whatever works in the browser. You know, I was using Mozilla Firefox, but it didn't work. It's surprising.
It's too bad.
Yeah.
So, I think we're just about at our time.
Yeah. So, not going to get an answer to that deep philosophical question?
Sorry, then. You'll have to search though for that.
You have to meditate on it.
Yep.
Okay.
And make sure you go through the whole process.
Everything depends on time, place, and people, and person, place, and thing, or whatever. I forget that. I got that a little mixed up. It's in essays. Essays one.
Mm-hmm.
Ignorance, passion, or knowledge. That's it. Time. Yeah.
All right. I think we got enough stored up for until the next meeting, huh?
Yeah. Sounds great.
Okay. All right. Bye, you guys.
Salam, everyone.
Salam, everyone.
Salam.
Salam.